Well, I want to say tonight, it's a real pleasure to be back at this place, St. Alfred's. I was a student minister here. I think I began 13 or 14 years ago now, which is frightening because I do still remember some of you. But it's wonderful to be back. And it's really wonderful, I think, to see a church that continually presents people with the opportunity to come to know Jesus. That's what it's all about. And I've just having like a series of looking through Christianity Explored, asking the big questions. What better can there be? We've been doing something similar in Geelong, and it's been super encouraging to see young men and young women come to know who Jesus is for the first time. And one of the things that several of them have said to me personally is, "Why did no one tell us? How come we've gone through 18, 20, 20 years, 25 years, and no one told us about who Jesus was and what he's done?" So well done to this church. And if you're new or you're visiting here tonight, the questions that we're looking at have got to be some of the most significant questions in all of life for everyone, no exceptions. So let me explain by beginning perhaps with a couple of photos. So this photo that you will see hopefully come up is a photo of an article that I read in the ABC online this week. It might not, is it? Yeah, there it is. So you can see that's a photo from the online article. And something grabbed me about that photo when I saw it online. And I thought, that is a good photo. I discovered that the guy, Chris, is the same age as me. Exactly. And he's got four kids there. I've got five, but our kids kind of look similar. They're also blondies. And I looked at that and I thought, isn't that a picture of how good life is? Some of you who are not parents, you're thinking, "Andrew, that looks like something, a version of hell. Please don't include me in that." I'm speaking for myself, right? This looks a good photo. A good photo of a happy family. But we're going to change gears because look at this next photo. That's the same guy. It's Chris and his wife, Kylie. And that is a photo that was on the ABC online. And what had happened was Chris had gone to his local doctor with a cough. It's a normal cough. And then over the next couple of days, he'd been diagnosed with stomach cancer that was terminal. He was given 6 weeks to live. And this photo was taken of him, the ambulance guys, dropping him back home for his final few days at home before he would die. And in an act of kindness and generosity, they detoured and they took him to his favourite beach and they wheeled him out to feel the sun and smell the salt air one last time. Those two photos, they're radically different, but they describe the same reality that you and I live in. On one side of the picture, on one side of the photos, we see life that is sweet and it's good. And many of you right now would reflect that. Many of you are young. You're getting out into the future and life looks sweet and dreams look big and it's wonderful. But then this side of life, that other photo, is also the reality. Smiles and tears. Health and sickness. Life and death. They're both the realities that you and I experience. And in this world, which at least I would love to have always the first picture, but in this world where it is not the case, it is very easy to become troubled. It's very easy to ask questions, to look at the news and to feel depressed, to look at the world and think how it could be, but see how it's not and feel heavy. It's easy to have a troubled heart. And that passage from John's Gospel, one of the reasons that I chose it tonight and thinking how I could come with you, journey with you on this journey, was because Jesus is utterly authentic. He is an authentic person, fully flesh, fully blood, like you and I, not some sort of ethereal ghost being. He is man, earthy, real. And in this context, as we heard briefly before, he's facing the last night of his life. He knows that very soon, a few hours' time, he will go to the cross and he will be crucified. And these group of followers of him, particularly as he reclines around the table, these other men, they've gone with him and he's told them that he's going to die. And then he's told them that, "And one of you is going to betray me and one of you is going to deny me." And now their hearts, we are told, are troubled. They're encountering the reality of human existence, that Jesus, the leader, is going to die. What is going to happen to them? Where are they going to go? What's happening next? Their hearts are heavy and troubled. And then Jesus returns to them as they recline and he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." So that's easy to say. anyone could say, let not your hearts be troubled. But Jesus says then, believe in God and believe also in me, in himself. Then he goes on to say some very profound and sweet words. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus says, I am going to my Father's house, and I'm going to come and take you to my Father's house, that you will be with me where I am. Now, the question is, where's his Father's house? What's he talking about? His Father's house is where his Father lives. Jesus is talking here about heaven. Now, heaven is an interesting concept. If you've read, I think it was Marx who said, pie in the sky when you die. Something out there that you can give the opiate of the masses. Just sate people with this belief that someday everything's going to be all right. Heaven can be seen as an escapist term. Getting away from the realities of life is an excuse for not caring about injustice or poverty or disadvantage. Heaven can be construed in all of those ways, but I would argue that heaven is something that the living God has placed within each of our hearts without exception. There is a longing, I believe, for something that is better, for something, for a wholeness when we experience brokenness, for a perfection when we see imperfection. There's something, a longing that's, it's something that is not here now, but we can sense that it's here. And I believe that that's true of everyone, even people who would say that they're not religious. I studied political science at a university in international relations. I can tell you there are many, they're called Arcadian or utopian philosophies, political philosophies about trying to create heaven. And they say, do this or go this way and we will achieve heaven on earth. There are left-wing heavens of places of perfection. There are right-wing places of perfection in the political sphere, promising a better world, a better place. Even someone like John Lennon, who in his famous song, Imagine, says, imagine, there's no heaven. So he's not a believer, is he? It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. John Lennon says, you all know what heaven is? It's living for now. And then he says, he's basically saying heaven is imagining heaven is not real. And then he says, imagine there's no countries, nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace until the world will be as one. Sounds suspiciously like heaven to me. Heaven on earth, peace, unified, a brotherhood of man. C.S. Lewis spoke about this longing for heaven. The guy that wrote the Narnia Chronicles and many other books, one of them he wrote was called The Problem of Pain. And he calls this desire for something else, he calls it an inconsolable longing. He writes this, there have been times when I think we do not desire heaven. But more often, I find myself wondering whether in our heart of hearts we have ever desired anything else. It's the secret signature of each soul, the incommunicable and unappeasable want, the thing we desire before we met our wives or made our friends or chose our work, and which we shall still desire on our deathbeds when the mind no longer knows wife or friend or work. He says there's a longing inside of us for something better. We sense that this world is not how it should be. And there are times in our lives, very often we distract ourselves with the busyness of study and of work and relationships, and we tell ourselves, no, my life's like the first picture. But then there are other times when we're confronted with the inescapable reality that it's broken. And then we are confronted with the fact, is this all there is? Sometimes it can be a shock, like an undiagnosed illness that presents itself. Sometimes it can just be the downright boredom of mundane, repetitious living, going through the same routines and the same work and the same corporate ladder or the same university progression. And is this all that is really? Is this really all there is? There are times when we're confronted with that reality and our hearts are troubled. And Jesus, when he tells, he addresses that trouble in the heart of his disciples as they face death and reject his rejection, his betrayal, And when he says, verse 3, I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, I'll take you to myself. And you know the way to where I'm going. And that would be my question to you tonight. If heaven's real, do you know how to get there? Jesus says to his groups that you know the way. And Thomas, speaking for one of them, says plaintively, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And then Jesus replies with these words, which I want to really focus on tonight. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus has said, believe in God, believe also in me, which is a strange thing to say if you were just a good teacher. Believe in God and me. And now he says, I am the way. Now, it's interesting, political philosophy say, believe in this, do that, and you will create your utopia on earth. Good religious leaders. Other philosophies say, you believe in this and do that and you will reach heaven. Jesus says neither of those. He says, believe in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, in my Father's house there are many rooms, but there's only one door. And that door, Jesus says, is himself. Now, these words, these are not easy words to dismiss. They're double-edged. They're either true or they're false. And on one level, they're deeply confronting because if you hadn't picked it up, that is very narrow and that is very exclusive. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And by implication, there is no other way, there is no other truth, and there is no other life. There is no other door to get to God. Now, that is controversial. And Jesus knew it was so, even then. Jesus says, I am the way. You want to go to the Father's house. You want heaven, I am the only way. And the implication is every other religion, every other philosophy is a dead end. Every nice person doing nice things is following a dead end in terms of eternity. Not to say that other religions are all wrong or that being a nice, good person is unimportant. It's not true. But in terms of getting to the Father's house, Jesus says there are many rooms, one door. It's double-edged. It's controversial. And maybe at this point you say, ha, yeah, that's the problem with the whole Christianity thing. It's narrow. It's putting one people in the way to heaven and everybody else on the way to the other place. That's exactly what's wrong with Christianity. It stinks. But on the other edge, those words of Jesus are exceedingly sweet. You are in a world of trouble, and maybe you have a troubled heart in a world you go through life, and you encounter those things in that second photo. How sweet it is to know that Jesus is the way, and in the Father's house are many rooms when you are diagnosed with a terminal illness. How sweet it is to know when your job is made redundant, or you fail your university exams, or the relationship that you invested so much in is shattering around you. How sweet it is to know that this is not all there is. That this is not heaven right now, as John Lennon suggested, a brotherhood of man. This is not as good as it gets. That there is something beyond this, and that Jesus is the door, and he is the way, and Jesus is himself the fulfillment of the longings of our hearts, which nothing else can quench. Success can't quench it. University marks and scholarships can't quench it. Sporting success and relationships and corporate ladders, none of that will fulfill you. All of that will leave you cold. And it's sweet to know that there's something more, that this is not a blind world where you're a blind creation of a blind universe and your only job in this life is to earn money and have relationships and procreate so somehow or other you continue on into the next generation through your offspring. How miserable. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I will come and take you to be with me where I am. It's sweet. It's either bitter or it's sweet. What it is not is irrelevant. Too many people I meet, they have the view that Christianity is a nice philosophy that'll get you through life, and a kind of a nice religious ritual that can fill the time in, and a nice comforting thing as you approach death. It is far more than that. This is one or the other. This is some of the most beautiful, truthful words ever spoken in all of history, or this is evil. Jesus is evil. He's saying he's the only way to the Father's house when he's not. See, this is controversial. It's not irrelevant. And tonight, as I move towards closing, I said, I want to give you personally a chance to respond tonight, wherever you might be. And perhaps to frame that, I want to tell a story about something that happened to me several years ago, because I think it highlights the beauty of this text and also its controversial nature. So some years ago, after I finished up here at St. Alps, actually, I went to Geelong, and in the course of a normal day of ministry, I received a call from a friend who had a friend, an older lady, who had just become a Christian a couple of weeks before. She was nearing the end of her life. She'd been a churchgoer her whole life. She'd gone to church and she'd been part of the Christian thing, but she'd never really known what it was to be born again, as Jesus says. To have your life changed and turned around by God's salvation pouring out on you, the Holy Spirit living in your heart, new life, hope, assurance. She'd never had that until the last couple of weeks. And now she was dying. And this woman's friend invited me to come, and I didn't know her, but I agreed to go. And by the time I arrived at the hospital, she'd fallen into a coma. And the doctor at the door of her room said, she's not coming out of this. This is it. But the woman's daughter was with me, and she said, would you take her hand and pray for her? Would you read some scripture to her? I said, I'd love to. So I took this woman's hand. She was probably in her 70s, 80s. And I didn't know where to go. So I love this passage of scripture, John 14. So I started reading from John 14. And I got through in my Father's house. There are many rooms. I've got to prepare a place for you. And I was thinking of this woman going to meet Jesus and entering eternity. And I said, and then Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And as I said, life, her eyes popped open and they were crystal blue. And she saw me and she recognized me, I could tell. And she smiled. She didn't recognize me, but she saw that I was the one reading the words. And she, her face lit up. And then her eyes closed and she died. The woman's daughter, who I knew was a famous rock star, everyone did. She said, I'd love you to do the funeral in a couple of days' time. Could you read John 14? Could you speak on that? I said, I'd love to. And at the funeral for her mother, I looked and there she was, this rock star in her leather outfit and the dark glasses, and all around her were people that were familiar to me from the internet and from the TV, famous people. And I prayed, Lord, please. Same prayer I'm praying tonight, by the way. Would you show people who you are? Would you show them your love poured out in the person of Jesus for them? And I prayed that prayer and I spoke on John 14 like I am tonight, and there didn't seem to be any response. And it was over. I went back to ministry. It was about 3-4 years later. Out of the blue, I got a call. And the rock star was back in town and she wanted to meet. And so I went, you know, praying, Lord, may something be stirring in her heart. And I met with her and the glasses came off, and behind the glasses were eyes that were full of tears. And she said to me, Andrew, I've got everything. There's a street in Melbourne named after me. I've got money, I've got fame, I've got popularity, I've got great relationships, I've got people who love me. And she said, and I feel so empty. I'm so, so empty and alone, and I'm afraid. And she said, I've been trying to find meaning in other things. And so I've got into spirituality. She said, I've been to an ashram in South America, and I've been there, you know, meditating and considering other religious things and spirituality. And she said, I was there last month, and this is what happened to me. In the middle of this meditation at this ashram, I saw a vision of Jesus hanging on the cross, and he was bleeding and he was looking at me, and my eyes were riveted to him. I couldn't take my gaze away from him. And she said, I don't know how long it lasted, but I was captivated. I couldn't move. I couldn't think. All I could see was this man hanging and dying and bleeding on the cross. And she said, can you tell me what it means? I mean, I would love to tell you what it means. John 14, the verse at your mother's funeral, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm the way. This is the way. Jesus is hanging on the cross because he lived the life that you couldn't live. Your life and mine, the way we've fallen short of God's glory, the way we've filled up our lives with irrelevancies, things that we've tried to sate the need for God and pretend that we're happy, all of these things he carried for you and for me on the cross. And then that is the way. Jesus says, you know the way to where I'm going. This is the way. Putting your faith and trust in the person of Jesus as the only way to save you. That is what you saw. And she said, but can I come after what I've done? I said, Jesus also said, you know, the same Jesus that was exclusive, that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father except through me. Exclusive, that same Jesus also said, no one who comes to me will I ever turn away. The same Jesus who is exclusive is also completely inclusive. Her mother, a churchgoer all her life, no real faith. The rock star with the pushing the limits of morality in her lyrics. Both of them, open doors, and everybody in between. And she said, so I can come? I said, yes. And she fell, collapsed, really be a bitter word, onto her knees. And she prayed. And it was a simple, beautiful prayer in her own words, trusting and receiving Jesus in her life. Now, soon after that, a day or two later, she went back to New York, where home was. We stayed in touch by email. I connected her with the church. I heard she was going well, but we lost contact. Another 4 years later or so, I'd seen in the news that she died. I got the call from her husband saying, would you please do the funeral in Melbourne? And when I met with her husband and spoke, I said, how did she go? And she said, she loved Jesus. She knew the way to the Father's house. Now, I share that story because I know for some of us right now, we feel like maybe it's the first photo. We feel like life's going pretty well. Maybe there's things to look forward to. We're in degrees. We're thinking about jobs. We're going to progressions and we have relationships. We're looking forward maybe to marriage or to children, whatever it might be in the future. And things look pretty good. And if that's you right now, God bless you. It's a wonderful thing. God didn't come to make you miserable. Jesus said, in fact, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. That my joy would be in you and your joy would be complete. So if that's you in that first photo, there's something else that you need to know about the Father's house. Jesus says that entry into the Father's house begins now. It's not pie in the sky when you die. When you come to know the Lord Jesus, and I pray that some of you will tonight, his kingdom breaks into your world now. You come to know him now. Eternity becomes real in your hearts now. And what that means practically is that you walk through life and you're not chasing anymore the fantasies that will give you nothing, that will promise everything, it'll be mirages in the desert and leave you thirsty. You are living, you're drinking from the real water of life. You have an assurance of life that it means something. You're going somewhere and that Jesus is that reality. The life that he gives you starts now. It goes on into eternity, but it starts now. And I'd urge you, if you think, well, that's me now, I don't really need this because things are going well, to consider the life that you're missing out on, but also the fact that you don't know when your life will end. Nobody does. Not all of us get 6 weeks warning like Chris did. And tonight, I'd urge you, if that is you and you're feeling that everything is all right and that you're in a season of life where everything's fine, rejoice that it is so. But more importantly, consider the claims of Jesus. That he would give you life when those seasons end, because they will. Sooner or later. And maybe tonight, though, you're in that second photo and you think, my life is miserable. I've made a mess of it. I've broken. I've rejected God's love for me. I've done this or I've done that. I haven't done this. I've wrecked my life. And why would God want me? And the answer is, he wants you. Because his son was sent to save you. and that the offer to be a child of God in his incredible love, God's love the world so much, he sent his son Jesus. That applies to you and all your brokenness. In some way, your brokenness is a blessing because maybe it'll open your eyes. When things are going well, it's easy to think, oh, I'll think about it another day. When you're broken and you know it, the sweetness of Jesus called to you is very sweet. So tonight, I want you to see the inclusivity, the offer that is given to you. None of these other things will save you. Jesus will save you, and he promises he will not reject you if you come to him. And so tonight, I'm going to give you the offer to respond. I'm also going to give you a chance tonight, though. If you don't fit, you say, yeah, I know Jesus, Andrew. I've been down that road before. But it may be that tonight you're dry. Spiritually, you're dry. Maybe that's because of the way that you have lived and the choices that you've made. You say you know Jesus, but really, if you're honest, he's not at the center of your world. Something else, someone else is at the center of your world, and it's not him. And that is a recipe for dryness. It's a recipe for intellectual belief. It's a recipe for no power, no deep joy. And tonight, if that's you, and you feel distant from God, you feel dry, I've been praying that you won't stay there. That you'll hear to you also the call of Jesus. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And I give myself for you on the cross, and I don't hang there. I am resurrected to life, and I call you to come into life tonight. Don't stay where you are. So tonight, those are two clear, different groups. People who don't yet know Jesus, people who do, but feel dry. Both of these occasions can be eternally significant tonight for you. Coming to life for the first time, receiving what Jesus gives, coming alive, the angels rejoicing in heaven, but also one who goes, needs to know again that Jesus' burden is light. His yoke is easy. He said, come to me when you're weak and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come and experience again my life. So those two things, what I'm going to do is very simple, but as in all things that are truly supernatural, very simple, but deeply meaningful, I'm going to ask us if we would bow, all of us bow our heads, close our eyes. This is a moment together here as a church, but a moment also individually for you personally. And right now, I want to ask that if you have never responded to Jesus, if you've never received the life that he gives, if you've never acknowledged him as your Lord, if you have chased after all sorts of other things but not him, this moment while every eye is closed and our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask that you would put your hand up so that I can see it because I want to pray for you. I'm going to do anything else to embarrass you or anything else. Just right now, if that's you, please put your hand up. I'd love to pray. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Is there someone else? You know the Spirit. If you're in this position, you know God's saying, you need to respond. You need to respond. If that's you right now, would you please let me know? Thank you, the person who put your hand down. Is there anyone else? Yeah, I saw that. Bless you. Anyone else? The holy moment before God. Thank you. Now, as we keep our eyes bowed, our eyes closed, heads bowed, I'm going to also ask that if you went, yes, this is me, I'm dry, I need refreshing, I want to recommit my life, I want to go deeper into who you are, Jesus. While our eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask that you would also put your hand up. I'd love to pray for you. Can you do that? Bless you. Bless you. Okay, put your hands down. Thank you. And I pray for both of those. And then at the end of our time together, while we're going to sing, if you put your hand up either to say, I want to follow Jesus for the first time, or you put your hand up to say, I want to go deeper. I want to recommit. I want to see more of your life and power in my life. Then I'm going to ask you also to come forward. I'd just love to pray with you. We'd love to just make that moment concrete so you don't just fade away tonight and forget, okay? But now I'm going to pray, and would you join me? We're going to pray firstly for those people tonight who came to know the Lord Jesus. Father, how we thank you that you love the world so much that you sent your Son. You sent your Son to live in our world of brokenness and to live a life of beauty and wholeness, and then to give that life willingly, to suffer and to die on a cross, so that we might have life. Tonight, Lord, thank you for those who have come to know you. Thank you. You know what is going on in their hearts and lives. But this night, Lord, may you see what has gone on inside of them. And as they cry out to believe and trust in you right now, may you respond in grace and mercy. May the angels indeed rejoice in the heavenly realms over one person, one sinner who comes to repentance and trust in the Lord Jesus. And this night, Lord, we unite our prayers together to pray that you would strengthen those, that you would build them up, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you. Thank you for working in their lives. And Lord, tonight we also bring before you each and every one of those men and women who acknowledge that things are dry. Lord Jesus, you said that when we believe in you, wells of living water would rise up from within us, overflowing to eternal life. Lord Jesus, we know that following you is a journey, but that you want us to keep going, to keep pushing into more of you, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Lord, together we pray for those who were honest tonight and said, yes, I want more of you. Then we pray, Lord, that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that that would be a prayer that you answer right now. And that in the supernatural pouring out of your presence and grace, that you would touch each of their hearts and their lives, that you would again cause the fountains to rise up within them. You would again remind them of their salvation in you. Lord, that where other things have pressed in and choked out the growth that you have within them, may those things be shattered and pushed aside. May they see again the beauty of Jesus. May they experience again the wonder of his love. And may each one of them grow and bear fruit that will last for all eternity. Lord, we come to you and we unite together in this prayer that only you can do. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that this place, all of us tonight, would be blessed again with life, but especially those who feel dry. May the water of your Spirit flow and saturate. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'll close in a moment. And as I said, we're going to sing, and I'd love to pray for you, whether there'd be others up here. I just love, even briefly, not keep you long, but just hear a little bit of the story and pray in person. We'd love to. And if you responded for the first time, please, whatever you do, don't leave tonight without coming. And there's a pack, some other things that we can give you here to help you get connected and grow in your faith. But I want to close with a song, actually, that was sung at that funeral I mentioned of the rock star. It was by Paul Kelly. I don't know if Paul Kelly, how he stands with Jesus, actually, but this song really, really touched me. And I want to close with it tonight because it speaks about heaven. It speaks about who the Father is, and it speaks about your future and my future. This is what it says. I am your true shepherd. I will lead you there. Beside still waters, come and meet me in the middle of the air. I'll meet you in the middle of the air. Through the lonesome valley, my rod and staff you'll bear. Fear not death's dark shadow. Come and meet me in the middle of the air. I'll meet you in the middle of the air. In my house, you'll dwell forever. You shall not want for care. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. Come and meet me in the middle of the air. I'll meet you in the middle of the air. You know, that's the promise of the Lord Jesus, who said, you know the way to my Father's house, that he will come and meet us. There'll be an instant, a flash. We will be caught up together with him in the air. Heaven will begin in all its fullness in just a moment. Or if he delays, in that moment that our eyes close, they'll open in the new heavens and the new earth, and we will meet him, our good shepherd, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.